You're back with Annie on 3CR Breakfast, and we've got company. Judith, g'day Judith, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, and lovely to see you this morning,
Annie. Yeah, it would be good to put the microphone on.
Yeah, it's good.
yeah. And the reason why we've got you in is because you've been doing some reporting for Earth Matters, and people may or may not be aware that there's been it's been revealed that multinational companies, Schlumberger, I always thought Schlumberger.
Well, it's pronounced in a kind of French way as well, Schlumberger or Schlumberger, but most people I've heard are saying Schlumberger. So, yeah.
And TGS are seeking approval to conduct a 3D seismic survey in a massive area of the Otway Basin, offshore from Tasmania, South Australia and Victoria, in order to locate fossil gas deposits below ocean floor. The proposed area is approximately 7.7 million hectares, making this potentially the largest 3D survey in history. But they're going to be doing drilling, right?
Well, no, but right now the big concern is about the seismic testing.
Ah.
Yeah, and you probably heard in late August that new ocean acreage has been released by the federal government. Yes. So more spaces that could be explored. And the first step to exploration is typically the seismic testing, as you've just talked about. So the story I'm working on for Earth Matters, we're going to hear from people who live along the coast of Victoria, along that area, and why it's such a big issue for them. And a bit later, we'll get a taste of what they had to say. But I thought it might be good, Annie, to begin by talking about what a seismic survey actually is. Do you know much about it at all?
I assume that it's a ship goes across. That maybe also, I have in my mind, death, that they put in charges or...
Yeah, so, you know, it's been my experience and also the experience of the people who were demonstrating in Apollo Bay last January that a lot of people they were speaking to about it didn't know what it was. So I thought maybe I'd start with just...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah? So it's, and I have also discovered that it's more accurately termed seismic blasting.
Yeah, because that's what I mean, it's death charges, right?
Yeah, yes. And it, as you said, also used to locate fossil fuels in the seabed. So survey ships that are owned by multinational companies kind of travel around the world doing these kind of tests and gathering data about where, you know, fossil fuel deposits might be. And then they sell their data.
That's right.
Yeah.
I did know that.
Yeah,
because this is the issue around the Timor Sea, and also the hydrogen deposits that are in that area, which was a secret that was held by corporates for them to be able to make large amounts of money in the future. But anyway.
Yeah, no, so I was just saying, you know, so what does that look like?
Mm.
And so you'd see boats towing an array of air guns, the guns, and receivers. Because they have to, you know, have receivers to get the sounds. And it looks like a grid, covers an area of ocean, kind of a grid pattern. And I guess the thing that's pretty important to know is the air guns emit blasts that send deafening sound waves through the water column deep into the ocean floor, and then the sound waves bounce back. So we're talking about blasts that generate up to 250 decibels going off every 10 seconds.
Jeez.
No, this is, I think people have a general idea, but think of that if you're in the water, 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, and often for months.
And do they know what effects this is having on the ecology of the seafloor?
Well,
I mean, is this related to why whales beach themselves and that sort of stuff?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, one is, I guess they know that, or they I think they know.
They pontificate. They imagine.
No, that it doesn't actually damage the ocean floor, so the geological stuff. So last year when people were really concerned about this blasting happening, you know, 5 kilometres from where the 12 apostles are.
Ah, yes.
Yes, and there was a big fuss about that, you may remember. But there wasn't a risk to the apostles. I don't think we were going to lose one of them.
But also, they're sandstone, so they're slowly but surely eroding away. So
but the testing, as you said, does affect sea creatures and in lots of ways. And while there's a need for lots more research, we do know certain things. And one is it has been linked with the beaching of whales, and it has an impact on their breeding, their food, their migration, and also that makes them vulnerable to errors of navigation. So, you know, moving around, finding things, they're very dependent on hearing. If hearing is damaged, that's a problem. So that's certainly for whales, that's and dolphins, and turtles as well. So that's been a huge issue. But another one is we know from the research now that it destroys plankton.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
The end of the world as we know it.
Well, it's what whales feed on, and it's also central, you know, to whole food systems. So that's huge. And then scallops. Now, do you remember back in 2010 the scallop fishers were wanting compensation for the loss of scallops due to seismic testing back then, 2010?
No, I don't remember.
No, there was a lot of news about it. But at that time, of course, it was said, oh, no, we have no proof. But 2017.
It's like the cancer clusters. We have no proof.
Well, we can go back to the tobacco industry.
You
know, back to 1980 when they were...
You can't prove.
Yeah, so but anyway, 2017, a study found that the impact of a seismic survey... Sorry, I'm just going to quote here. The degree of exposure increased the risk of mortality significantly in scallops and showed compromised physiology over a chronic time frame, which from there were no signs of recovery over the course of those experiments. So the loss of the scallop fishery in parts of the Bass Strait, that was a huge issue. That's been a huge issue. But rock lobsters also that are fished, you know, off Apollo Bay, they have found that it damages their sensory organs that enable them to escape predators. And very recently, whiting and flathead, they found that off Lynn Research, off Lake's entrance in Victoria, they found that seismic testing done in 2020 had a reduction in whiting catches and a reduction in flathead. So
what we're talking here about is the environmental destructiveness of it, but also the economic destructiveness of it.
That's right. And you know, fishers are right to be really concerned about it.
But there's been calls for there's quite a few people who are like the local Aboriginal people have sent out messages of disapproval. There's the surfers for environment. They've called out, saying, alerting people that this is a real problem. And now, of course, we've got the fisheries people. Also, on a completely different, much bigger level, well, it's the same level, really. Where is this turning around of the juggernaut of the fossil fuels that's destroying the world when they're continuing, just, you know, like there's just this, you know, greenwashing going on, while on the ground level, the economic powers that be are just continuing to destroy environment.
You do wonder who's running the country.
Well, the corporations are running the country, right?
You do. And of course, there have been seismic surveys, and more accurately called seismic blasting, in the Otway Basin for some years now. But there are, it's been going on, going back to 2010, although that in that case it was Geoscience Victoria that was doing that blasting.
Oh, so we paid for it.
I haven't been able to find out whether we did pay the compensation on that one.
I mean, with all these surveys, for example, I know this is not the same place, but with the Timor Sea, for example, the Australian federal government paid for all this surveying, which was then given over to the corporates.
Yeah, and so I don't know so much about that one. But this one by Geoscience was looking at where you could do carbon capture and storage. That was, I think,
Right, down along that coast, yes.
Yeah, so that was a sort
down,
of a
down near Gippsland.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what's it like? Because of the blasting itself. And you've got to make sure that there's no one else in the area, right? So if you're out,
that's
the ship's
a bit like
out
the
there,
what is it? The atomic bombs?
No. Well, not.
Well, you know, the local Aboriginal community were there, but nobody else was there.
Oh, the Pacific Islands. Yes.
But I mean, with this, how do what you're saying is how do you make sure that there's nobody else there? But it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. So when you have a flotilla out there, you need boats in front of them and around them to make sure there are no other boats in the area. And so this might be an interesting story for people listening, that I was told by Lisa Depola from OCEAN, the Otway Climate Emergency Action Network. So one of the fishers out from Apollo Bay did encounter one of these scouting boats, I guess. So maybe we could just hear what happened. It's Lisa's story.
Is it the larger one or the smaller?
The larger one.
We've got a fisherman in town, Trevor Barker. Trevor fishes from a pretty small boat. He doesn't go out for days on end like everybody else. He goes out and comes back every night. It's the most gorgeous little timber boat that he's got. You often see him off the beach, actually, dropping his pots not that far away. Trevor had a favourite reef that he used to fish. It was off Moonlight Heads, and it was a good, reliable spot for him for getting some crayfish. He's told me a story about one day where he got actually chased off the reef because the seismic ship was coming. The seismic ship has these smaller boats scouting around to make sure nobody's in the way of the ship and the seismic blasting for lots of reasons. They're generally towing an array of receptors that can be 5 and 8 kilometres long. So, you know, they can't stop suddenly or get tangled up. He went back to that site that was blasted a couple of weeks later. He pulled up his pots and there were no crays. But what shocked him more was that there was no bycatch in those pots. He puts those pots down there with a tasty fish or some sort of bait or morsel, and normally it will attract some leather jackets or some hermit crabs or octopus sometimes. There was nothing. His pots came up empty with his bait still in them.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, for Trevor, and Trevor's on the record with that story, too. It's been published in a number of articles that I've seen. So, yeah, I mean, for people fishing, that's certainly worrying. And as we've said, there's already been quite a lot of seismic testing in the Otway Basin, but this one is different, and maybe we'll just hear from Lisa again from OCEAN.
It's the sheer size of the project, but it's all in 3D, which is more damaging to zooplankton. Because it's 3D, the blasts don't go down directly. They go out in the cone shape. And the grid lines where the ship goes back and forward ensure that those areas, they have overlap. They have to have overlap to get the 3D. So critters that can't get out of the way get hit multiple times. If they do find large gas deposits and they decide to mine it, we're looking at a minimum of 15 years before they've tapped into it and it's online. In 15 years' time, we need to have moved on. If the Australian government accepts this gas exploration, we might as well reconcile ourselves to a 2 or 3 degree global warming. We can't be mining new gas in 15 years plus time.
Yeah, which is the nub, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, why are these people doing this?
Yes, and why are they being allowed to do it?
To do it.
Yeah, and I guess that's the next. That was Lisa Depola from OCEAN, the Otway Climate Emergency Action Network, and she'll be speaking more about what's been happening in the Earth Matters show. So that's just a little segment of one of the things that she's talked about. But the other problem is really it's the regulatory framework here in, you know, federally, and that is really worrying people. So what happens and kind of where it's at the moment is there's an organization called NOPTA, which is the National Offshore Petroleum. Oh, gosh, I can't remember what the last bit is. But
all these letters.
But it gives out titles. So I do have it, all these acronyms to get your head around. But so what's happened?
What's their purpose?
Yeah, to give out a license, permission to actually do the exploration. So there's them.
And who are the people who are on the board? This is the thing that I've discovered is that whenever, you know, so for example, just this is an aside issue, when you look at the issue of the licensing given to chemicals in our farming systems, you discover that people who are allowing these sorts of things, who are on the advisory committees, are actually hand in glove with the chemical companies.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting.
I mean, I don't know.
No, I know. But this was interesting because former Senator Rex Patrick actually interrogated NOPTA about what their responsibilities were in Senate's estimates. And it was quite an interesting conversation as he tried to kind of get to the bottom of the matter. But after they give the license and approve it, and my last, and it's hard to negotiate the website, but my last look for this application, it was saying more information required. That was a few days ago, so I didn't look this morning, so I don't know if anything's changed. But typically after that, they go to another organization called NOPSEMA, and I can give you the whole thing for that. It's the National Offshore Petroleum Safety and Environmental Management Authority.
Oh.
Yes. And so this
group, they've covered it.
Yeah. And this group will require an environmental plan.
Oh, really?
And also require that.
But they've already started doing the seismic investigations. So isn't it?
They haven't started they've been past ones, but this is the proposed one. So at the moment, they're looking for approval. So typically they'll get their application through in NOPTA. And then they'll go to NOPSEMA.
Then it's hand passed.
Yeah, and passed on. But with NOPSEMA, there's a month consultation process and in which they need to consult with anyone affected. So what I'd like
a whole month.
Whole month. There's a bit of a concern.
No wonder all these different people have got their running shoes on because they're already aware of how. You know, that's a very short window.
Absolutely. And it's also very limited who can be consulted with. So it has to be just people who they see have kind of a business interest, people like fishers. So I'd like to now hear from, from the Earth Matter show, Marcus Nolle, who's chair of the Apollo Bay Fishermen's Co-op. And he highlighted that when I spoke with him down in Apollo Bay.
So nobody from the community can write in and complain about any of this and have that complaint considered, because the petroleum company can say, you are not an impacted party. We will not listen to any generic complaints about anti-fossil fuel positions. We will not listen to any claims of cumulative impact, because requirement is not there for us to consider cumulative impact. So all of these genuine concerns from your average citizen who's not operating out there in the oceanic environment, by design, those voices cannot be heard, which is why the petroleum companies will say, oh, we get all the permits we need to get and all of our environmental plans are approved by NOPSEMA. So at face value, it sounds like, you know, everything's being done, but the underlying design of the regulatory framework is totally flawed. If you've got a regulatory regime which allows the suppression of concern, the suppression of risks, if that regime is allowed to function as it does now, we can't get anywhere because we don't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, it's outrageous, isn't it? I mean, it's the pretense. They're using as the previous government did, they constantly created systems to pretend that they are actually dealing with the problems.
Well, apparently the E for environment, it was only added, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. I can't remember the exact date, but in the NOPSEMA. So previously it was more safety, offshore safety.
Greenwashing. It's greenwashing.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this is a real concern. So there will be a month, but as you say, people have to get their skates on, and then it's very limited who can actually apply or contribute to that consultation.
Is this Victorian government or Australian government?
No, this is federal government, but there's also a joint authority, which is the federal and state government, which also has a role in approving these kinds of things. So that's just another thing.
With economy trumping environment.
Yeah. So I guess you mentioned First Nations people. The Southern Ocean Protection Embassy Collective, SOPEC, has put out a press release about this. They're deeply concerned. They're against any new seismic blasting or gas well development in the Southern Ocean across Gujarat Sea Country, and they're calling for immediate halt to it. The Colac Otway Shire Council has also opposed it, and they've written to key politicians and ministers. So clearly the citizens aren't happy about this proposal with by GTS and Schlumberger. And we'll be waiting and watching carefully to see what happens, and particularly if and if the title is approved, if their application is approved by NOPTA, and then if it goes to NOPSEMA for a 30-day consultation. But there's a little bit of good news, but not necessarily here in Victoria. In South Africa, a high court has just banned energy company Shell from conducting 3D seismic surveys, which were planned for off the coast, the east coast of South Africa. And though the campaigners apparently argued that the shockwaves, you'll know this from what I said before, shockwaves every 10 seconds, 24 hours a day for 5 months would potentially harm marine species and disrupt their routines. And scientists warn that extreme noise endangers sound-sensitive wildlife, such as whales, dolphins, and sea turtles. So there's been two cases now in South Africa where seismic testing has been stopped. This one was on the east coast. There was another one on the west coast. Interestingly, that one was an Australian company. And they were stopped because, guess what? They hadn't consulted with local people. And secondly, they did start before their environmental plan was approved. So we have, there's two court precedents now in South Africa that we can look at, and it will be interesting to see if more and more come out. So anyway, Annie, I know you...
So when is this Earth Matters, it's on Sunday at 11 a.m. Is it this week or
no,
is it coming up?
No, it's not till August the 2nd. So I would encourage
people... August the 2nd?
No, sorry, August, October.
October so,
thank
the
you.
2nd.
Glad someone's awake. No, it's October the 2nd and, 11 o'clock on Sunday. But I would encourage people to keep an eye on what's happening, before that. It's very easy. You can easily do a search on seismic testing Otway Basin. Friends of the Earth has done some great reporting on it. There's been reports on this one in both The Guardian and also the ABC's reported on it. But it is important. And I think it should be an election issue, actually, because we've got at least three electorates that are, affected by this, not more. Mm.
Thanks for coming in, Judith.
Well, thanks for having me and for the time, Annie. Lovely to be here.